Backpacking is, without doubt, one of life's truly great experiences. It's freedom, it's adventure, it's fun. It's something absolutely everyone should try. However, it's probably not something you can do for your entire life. In fact, there comes a time in pretty much every backpacker's traveling career when they realize, damn, I'm too old for this. For me, that realization happened in Turkey a few years ago on a tour I was doing with Busabout. We were driving along in the middle of the countryside and the guy in front of me turned around and he stared at me for a while and he said, "So, you were alive in the 80s. What was that like?" "It was," I said, "very much like the 90s, only with hypercolor t-shirts and cassette tapes." Still, his point was very clear. I was too old to be a backpacker. Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveler.com.au podcast. Today we're talking about backpacking, and more specifically, we're talking about the realization that maybe, just maybe, you're getting a little too old for it. In the first half of the episode, we're going to talk about the signs that you're over the backpacking hill. Maybe it's the rustling of plastic bags in the middle of the night that are getting to you. Maybe it's the realization that no one in your hostel was even born when most of your favorite music was released. And in the second half, we're going to talk to a guy who's strapped on the backpack once again, despite being in his mid-30s. Joining me to discuss this, I have two hardcore backpackers who surely haven't called it time just yet. First up, she's been a travel writer for more than a decade and first set out to see the world on her own at the age of 17. Welcome, Uta Yonker.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Uta. Great to have you with us. And also joining me, I have Intrepid Travel's regional product manager for Asia and someone who's coming to us all the way from parental leave, Tara Kenaway.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Tara. Great having you guys here. Now, Tara, given you're coming to us all the way from parental leave, does that mean you're actually too old to be a backpacker?
Well, I think I'm in a bit of a travel limbo at the moment because now that I have a child, my whole perception on travel has changed and how I'm going to continue traveling in the future. But at the same time, I had such good memories of backpacking and staying in hostels and things like that. So it'd be kind of fun to experience that with a kid too.
Yeah, absolutely. What defines a backpacker for you?
I think it's that sense of independence. I don't know if you necessarily have to have a backpack on your back to be a backpacker.
Yeah.
It seems to be, you know, the era of wheelie bags has overtaken the backpacks, and they are definitely a lot more comfortable to travel around with, I think. So, that sense of freedom, maybe that sense of not necessarily having a set itinerary, waiting to see who you're going to meet along the way and maybe taking off with them and discovering new places together.
Yeah. Uta, does your bag have wheels these days?
My bag has so many wheels, it's not funny. But the reason I've given up backpacking, and the reason is something that Tara touched on. It's, to me, the essence of backpacking is that freedom that I'm going to overnight in the hostel and wake up next to Tara and we're going to go to Varanasi because what the hell? And who's got the time for
YOLO,
that anymore?
YOLO, I believe, is what they say.
Indeed. And these days, I've got a different attitude to YOLO, which is I've got a whole bunch of things to do and I've got to schedule them. So that's not very backpackery.
Do you miss the backpacker life at all?
No, because I did it and I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with not doing it anymore. And theoretically, yeah, going out and getting drunk with a bunch of people I've just met in a city I've never seen before could be fun, but really, I'll just settle for two espresso martinis in a nice bar, actually.
I mean, there's no actual number that you can put on being too old, is there? I mean, I was reading the other day, there's a guy called Keith Wright from the Gold Coast who's 95 and is still backpacking. There's an English woman called Geraldine Forster who's 72 and is still backpacking. Is it a state of mind, do you think?
Look, my most recent backpacking experience, staying in a hostel anyway, I did decide that I was probably a bit too old for that particular hostel because I couldn't work out how to climb up onto the top bunk. Seriously, there was no steps. There was no ladder.
Right.
I had to do this kind of shimmy up the wall next to the window and launch myself onto the top bunk in the middle of the night. And maybe I'm just too old to understand how to do that.
All while being very respectful of everyone's privacy and trying to be quiet.
And not step on anyone's head.
Yeah, exactly. Because as you get older, you start to value
that. That's right. Absolutely. Probably 5 minutes later, someone turned the light on anyway. But, you know, so that did make me question it a little bit. Like, but then again, not all hostels are bunks. A lot of the hostels I've been to recently, you can get a nice single room.
This
so you can kind of have the benefit of both worlds of having that social time, the communal spaces, and then also being able to just retreat and turn the light off or on when you want to.
And to my mind, if I were going to go backpacking again, I would probably skip the big cities with the big hostels and go to, you know, more remote places where I can get a little shack for, you know, $3.50 a night. And so that I still have my privacy and I still have some space, but I'm just not having to deal with drunk 19-year-olds coming in at 4 a.m.
I can totally see where you're coming from on that one.
I mean, there are hostels and there are hostels, aren't they? I stayed in a YHA in the Peak District in the UK, and I was probably the youngest person in the dorm.
There
were
really?
A whole lot. Yeah, there were a whole lot of people in their 40s and 50s and 60s who were there to walk, to hike around, and sort of enjoy the countryside, and that was the vibe there. Mm. Whereas I stayed in a hostel called the Mill House in Buenos Aires when I was 26 or so, and I was by far the oldest person there. Right. And that was actually one of the times when I thought, oh, I'm too old for this.
And I think that's one of the other big signs is when you're looking at everyone else around you and you're going, yeah, see, I think you're only about 4 years younger than me, but you're probably 10 years younger than me. And you're trying to gauge the age. That's probably a sign.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when I went to Buenos Aires, I'd been told by a few people, I was traveling with some mates, and a few people had said, the Mill House, you've got to go to the Mill House. It's a party hostel. And we were like, yeah, parties. We love parties. That sounds great. And we arrived there and, the average age would have been about 19 tops. And we walked into the hostel, into the room, the dorm room, and this American guy, I was on the bottom bunk, this American guy comes over and he starts sort of testing the springs on the top bunk. And he's like, oh man, I'd hate to be sleeping below me tonight. I'm going to have some action. And I was like, oh, what have I done? And we lasted one night there. And then my friends and I went and swapped to another hostel called The Clan, which was basically a whole lot of people like us who had spent a night in the Mill House and gone, too old for this, and had moved over there. And it was great. It was perfect.
So that worked out fine.
We felt really at home. Yeah. Was there ever a moment where you realized just like that, hang on a minute.
Absolutely. I was in Thailand. I was probably about 30 and I was doing one of those bare bones jungle trips, and we got to our first night's accommodation and it was actually you're lying on the floor. You know, here's a bit of a, it wasn't even a sleeping bag. Here's something you put on the floor and you're lying on it. I got no sleep that night. And in the morning I just lay there while everyone else was still asleep going, every bone is aching. Is this arthritis? How do I get up without wincing with pain and let my guard down in front of all these kids? And the only relief came when all the kids woke up and they were going, oh, I'm so sore. Oh, I'm so sore.
Gave you permission.
Yeah, but I still kind of knew I was way more sore than they were. And that was kind of like, yeah, don't think I'll be doing this again.
Yeah. I mean, ordinarily the way that I found a lot of backpackers deal with some of the bad parts about backpacking is just to drink your way through it. Like, you know, people making noise in the middle of the night, uncomfortable beds, drink your way through it. But, you know, as you get older, maybe that's not such a good idea because you wake up with a horrific hangover and spoil your entire day.
I think it's also, and I'm not knocking backpackers because I did it and I loved it.
That's great.
But it's more about the experience and less about the destination. So I can tell you the first time I went to Amsterdam, did I go to Anne Frank House? No. Did I go to the Van Gogh Museum? I don't think I did that either. But what I do remember was that there was this girl in our dorm room and she ran into in the street. She was from like Melbourne, and in the street in Amsterdam, she ran into like her best friend from childhood from Melbourne. That's what I remember about Amsterdam. So
good memories. Well, I mean, where else could you do that, really?
You know, these days I want to get a little bit something more out of the destination.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah. How about you, Tara? Was there ever that one moment where you thought, oh, no?
I think I guess I just started to judge the people around me a bit too much. Right. And
why is that a problem?
You know, like you're in the common kitchen and I'm thinking, you know, why has everybody bought that 1 kilogram salt, you know, that table salt?
Yeah.
You know, you see people bringing back their food and they didn't think that maybe somebody else wanted salt on their food that night as well too. Like they just didn't seem to, all these things just kept on coming to mind that I was just like, oh, I'm not relating to this, you know? Mm. And I guess I was never the backpacker that collected the patches for the backpack, of all the different flags of the countries, or, you know, had too much stuff and couldn't fit my hiking boots in, so they're tied on the back of the backpack. Right. Like, I was never really that iconic backpacker. Plus, I don't drink as well, so that being able to relate to people through drinking wasn't really there.
So you were really left out.
Well, you know, I guess my first experiences of traveling independently were to places where there weren't hostels as well. So, like around Russia and the Baltics at that time, Vietnam and places like Ukraine. So that was a little bit of a different backpacker experience in that it
was. So what sort of accommodation are you staying in there?
There, it really depended. If it was a city, then it would often be a pretty crummy Soviet era hotel, which, you know, has its own charms.
In inverted commas.
Yeah. But in other places, in smaller villages and towns, you'd be asking someone who rents out rooms and then just ending up staying in somebody's house.
Right.
So this is obviously pre-Airbnb days, and no one had the internet in rural Lithuania or wherever I was. But then you had some crazy experiences of local interaction. I mean, I remember one place, it was in Lithuania, where there was this old grandma. She didn't speak any English, German or Russian, the languages that I had. And she tucked me in to bed at night.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So she came in after I'd turned off my light, and she came and tucked me in and checked that I was okay, and, you know, patted down the pillow and the quilt.
That's
amazing.
I was
just there going, oh, so touching.
So if any hostel owners are listening right now, that is the sort of service that, you know.
See, homestay, that's endearing,
that's
right? Hostel, creepy.
It's a very, very fine line, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think your comment about judging people was interesting, because for me, one of the other signs was not necessarily just judging the people who are traveling with you, but judging the service providers, including these, you know, these bare bones tours and stuff. So
right.
On this Thailand trip, I remember I had dislocated my elbow and it was in a cast, and I was meant to be going whitewater rafting and hiking in the jungle in northern Thailand. And I said, is this okay? And I went, sure. And, of course, you know, this raft that we went down the river on was taking in water, had nowhere to sit because, you know, the raft was actually about 3 inches underwater.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to hold on to. I have one arm in a cast, and we're actually shooting rapids. And it's just, there's a point at which you go, you look at the tour leader and you go, you are grossly underqualified for your job, and I am not putting my life in your hands.
And also, they don't care.
No. They don't have to fill in a form.
Yeah.
Someone in head office does that.
So, do you think we get we don't take as many risks as we get older? And that's,
we take less stupid risks.
Yeah. More calculated risks than that
so.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found you become worried about what other people are doing in the hostel as well. That's when one of the things that came to me, you know, people were telling me what they were going to do during the day. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty dangerous. You know, be careful.
You sure?
And they're looking at me like, what are you, my parents? Like, I traveled to get away from them.
Or just like when they're heading out to get drunk for like the third night in the row, and you're sitting there going, look, a night off would really do you good.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, yeah, no, you're spoiling the mood.
Yeah, yeah. I had another on that bus about tour, actually. I had a lot of fun with those. I mean, they were kids. Essentially, they were kids. But there were numerous times when I realized that this is too much. There's one where everyone, like a couple of nights in, we got to this place where we're staying overnight. And obviously, everyone gets free to drink. And there's talk of drinking games and everything. And I thought, all right, this is my time to shine. I was like, Grandpa, Grandma are going to show you kids how to drink. And I got in there and, you know, I was drinking the same amount as they were. It went on well into the night. And I got up the next morning and I had the most horrendous hangover, and I just sort of dragged myself out of bed, and I got down to breakfast, and there's this 18-year-old girl just sitting there bright-eyed. She's like, oh, hey, Ben, how you doing? I was like, terrible. What about you? And she's like, I'm fine. You know, it's weird. I just don't get hangovers. Like, it's just not part of my makeup. I don't get hangovers.
You're sitting and go, wait till you hit 27.
Right.
This is your future.
Yeah. I didn't want to be that guy, but I was like, just you wait. You will get the worst hangovers of your life.
And I think, you know, you have to have enough self-awareness that there is a point at which you are, as you said, the creepy person in the hostel.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of know when that's happening, kind of go, yeah, no, okay.
Yeah. And you have to realize how other people are looking at you as well, in a way. Because on that trip, some other guys were talking about a Sail Croatia trip that they'd done, which is pretty much a party thing that everyone's doing now, organized by Busabout again. And they'd had a ball, and they were telling me about their group, and the guy said, we had this amazing group on our boat. It was so good. You know, there was this old guy on board, but like, he was really trying his best to keep up, and he was really cool, and it was just all awesome. And I was like, all right, how old was the old guy? And he's like, oh, he was like 27 or 28 or so.
What?
I was like, you know, I'm 33, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah, but you're cool as well. I'm like, thanks, man. Thanks.
Thanks, kid.
Yeah.
But see, isn't that a sign of age as well, that you're worried about the effect you're having on other people?
Yeah, that's true.
If you were a 22-year-old with a bunch of 35-year-olds, you just go, well, they're delighted to have me.
Yeah,
but when it's reversed, you go, yeah, I'm crapping this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't want to be that person. Flight of Fancy is brought to you by Intrepid Travel. Intrepid has several trip styles to cater for a diverse range of travellers. Their original trips are the tours they built their reputation on. The perfect choice for those after a mix of included activities and time to explore on their own. Original trips use well-located tourist-class hotels and include some meals. Intrepid Basics trips give you amazing experiences on a tighter budget, while their comfort trips smooth away some of adventure travel's rougher edges, giving you a more relaxed pace of travel, more included activities, and many meals along the way. To find a trip that suits you, no matter your age, budget, or appetite for adventure, visit intrepidtravel.com. Tara, are there certain destinations where backpackers tend to be older? You know, if you are an older backpacker, is there somewhere you can go to be comfortable?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think like the kind of hostels that I was talking about before, where you don't have to necessarily be in a 16-bed dorm or whatever it is, I think you do want a bit more privacy as you get older. And I know particularly in Europe, you know, places like Berlin or Barcelona, lots of places like that, London, like you were saying, there's some amazing hostels now, which are a lot more like hotels.
That's where true, actually. You Lisbon do have, has some amazing ones.
Yeah,
as well.
Where you do have twin or single rooms. You might even have private bathrooms too at a lot of those. But you've still got, you know, the communal spaces to hang out. You know, you can make your own food in the kitchen. There might be a great bar or restaurant or something like that attached
or
to the
proper coffee machine.
Proper coffee machine. important. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things. So I'm not sure. I guess it's just limited by the kind of comfort level that people want as they get older and what they're comfortable who they're comfortable spending time with.
Yeah. Uta, do you think that's a good way to transition out of the traditional backpacking model to still stay in hostels but to be in a private room maybe?
Absolutely. And it is that thing that you can – what that lets you do is it lets you participate as much as you choose in the hostel life. And while everyone else is going out drinking, you know, you can just sit in the lounge and read your book.
See, you can retreat.
Yes.
When you need.
Because when I'm not backpacking, I really miss that social aspect of the travel that comes with that, meeting people from around the world. You know, I find often when you're traveling, you do meet locals sometimes, but it's a very superficial experience. Whereas when you're meeting other travelers, it tends to be a lot more intense and you spend much more time with them and you're in a similar situation to what they are. And yeah, I really miss that when I'm staying in a hotel. You go out by yourself, drinking by yourself, and you kind of.
And eating by yourself too. Yeah. I think that's when you miss it the most, is when you want to share a meal with somebody and maybe there's more things on the menu than one person should order for themselves. And so that you want to try. And so you want to be able to share a dish with somebody else or just have a chat, you know, what did you do today? And just kind of share those experiences when you're traveling by yourself. And not in that kind of hostel communal environment, then it can be a bit lonely.
But there can be a difficulty. When I was traveling in Colombia a couple of years ago, and I was traveling mid-level, I was comfortable and got talking with a girl who was backpacking and we wandered around town together for a while. And then I said, look, sure, what are you doing for lunch? Do you want to join me for lunch? And she said, oh, where are you going? And I'd been planning to go to a nice restaurant, but I did a quick recalculate because I knew she was on a budget. And I thought, there's a place near here that has a market, that has a restaurant in the market. Shall we go have a look at that? And we went and had a look at that. And I was thinking, yeah, this is really cheap. And she just went, yeah, no, I can't afford this. I'm just going to go and buy some empanadas. And it turned out she'd been living on empanadas for 7 weeks and was going to keep doing that. So
That is difficult. Yeah. I stayed in Seville for about 2 months to study Spanish for a while as part of my sort of quarter life crisis gap year type thing when I was about 34 or so. And everybody else studying there was like 18 or 19 or 20. And I sort of had a decision to make. Either I have no friends for the next 2 months or I just regress to being an 18-year-old essentially. So obviously I regressed. but one of the things I found was, particularly with eating out, I'd done all this research on these amazing restaurants that I wanted to go to. And maybe, you know, it's Seville, it's quite cheap. So maybe it's 3 or 4 euros a plate instead of 2 euros a plate. But even then, the students, they didn't want to do that. And I really had to drag them out every now and then.
That was two meals worth.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And they just don't place a high value on the food as an experience, which I did. So maybe that's one of the differences.
It's different priorities, isn't it?
What
you want to get out of it, that experience that you were looking for was obviously really different from what they were hoping to gain from it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I still went along to, there was a club night called Super Tuesday, which was where they gave out free sangria for the first hour that the nightclub was open. And, you know, I decided that that's what I've got to do. And I don't think I went to a single Wednesday class because of Super Tuesday.
Did anyone?
So, yeah, they did because they were all young
they
and they just bounced back.
They're
like, right, 8:30, let's go. Spanish lessons.
Let's conjugate some verbs.
That's right. Exactly. Actually, you know what? I missed the day that we started conjugating verbs and I never caught up. That was really, they did that on a Wednesday and it killed me.
It's a key skill.
It really is, as it turns out. Do you guys think backpacking's changed now to when we first started? It seems to me that it's such a different experience.
Well, I think one of the big changes is technology, which
absolutely,
like, A, it lets you access a destination differently, but B, it also means you're never out of touch with home. And, you know, oh, I'm going to get all old and nostalgic here, but but that was part of the thing, that you were walking down a street and no one knew where you were, and people might have thought you were still in Bolivia, but you were now in Brazil. And, you know, there was this freedom and this sense of being untied from absolutely everything that I really loved.
Yeah. Do you miss that, Tara?
I do. I was just thinking about, you know, now people go and write a Facebook entry or upload some Instagram photos or something. And I used to write a diary. You know, I used to collect tickets and bits and pieces from throughout the day and
stick
them in a book. I know. It's dating me, isn't it?
And then you carried the book with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I did.
I think there's a bit of danger in sort of looking back and assuming that things that we did were better. But then you go into a social room at a hostel now and you look around and literally everyone is on a phone or an iPad or a laptop communicating with friends back home. And in a way, that's a lovely thing to be able to do. But in another way, you're kind of like, guys, talk to each other.
Like, yeah. Look, everything has its ups and downs. It's not that one is better. It's that the experience is different. It has its upsides. And like you said, when you are in contact with all those people from home, you're not throwing yourself into the embrace of all your fellow travellers because you're desperate for company.
No, but you're wanting to share that with them, aren't you? I mean, I'm the one who uploads to Facebook now when I'm travelling, you know, so I can see the benefits of both, but absolutely technology has changed things. I think the tour leaders will say that the most commonly asked question now is, what's the Wi-Fi password?
Yeah, right.
You know, not what are we doing tomorrow?
I would hate to be a tour leader now. I used to lead tours around Europe and, you know, we'd be driving along. People would say, oh, what castle is that that we're driving past? And we'd say, oh, that's Castle Schloss. And they would say, oh, okay, cool, thanks.
That's now, a tour leader trick from way back. Oh, I know that one too in many different languages.
And now they're just Googling it and going, no, it's not. Schloss just means castle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely changed the experience. I mean, even things like, you know, how you're going to get from one place to another. You used to have to figure it out, go to the bus station, look at the timetables. Maybe a bus would show up at that time, maybe it wouldn't. And now, you know, you're just checking your apps or your Google Maps or whatever to work out. So I do wonder, like, how that sense of exploration has then changed, you know, people who are having to kind of figure it out themselves. And in a way that they still are, they're just using the resources that are available to them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you less vulnerable in a way if you're doing research. And you know, right, oh, these are the scams to look out for. If someone comes up to me and says this, then that's what's going on. And this is how much it should cost to get from the airport to the hostel. You can already know all that stuff.
I mean, I think of times when I was traveling and nobody knew where I was, and that probably wasn't a good thing, you know, because I was probably putting myself in a situation that probably wasn't the safest to be going, oh, on a map it doesn't look very far. I can walk through this forest. You know, that kind of thing. And now I look back at that, why did I do that? You know, why did I think that was a good idea?
Yeah.
But maybe you wouldn't do that now if you look on your Google Maps and you can see that, it would take you this long. And
if you're 17, you still
You're still
would.
Doing it. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, you're still going to make dumb decisions. Don't worry about that.
More informed dumb decisions.
Yeah, that's right. Now, guys, I think we're gonna chat to someone new now. We're going to chat to a guy who has decided to go out and backpack in his mid-30s and do it all again. So we're going to check out and see what he has to say. So, guys, now joining us on the line all the way from Taipei, we have Ben Hurley, who is a guy who's setting out to backpack again in his 30s. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Oh, hi. Good to meet you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, tell us a bit about your story. You took a bit of a break from backpacking, but now you're back into it.
I mean, I did a big backpack trip quite some time ago. Actually, when I was 19, I finished high school and worked in a cafe for a year. and then set off for 14 months. And that was just around Southeast Asia that time. But yeah, when I got back, I guess, university and then straight through to work and then quite an intense corporate job for a few years. So it was quite a long time before I set off overseas again. But in recent times, I kind of felt the need again. So I set off starting in Taiwan, and then I've sort of used this, I guess, as a base to travel around the region.
Right. So where have you been so far?
Well, there's been a lot of smaller trips because for a period of time, I was here on a tourist visa. I'm studying Chinese and then leaving the country every 3 months to kind of renew my visa, which I guess is it's fairly common. So I did a lot of nearby countries. I went to Myanmar for a couple of weeks there, which was fabulous. I've done a couple of trips to the Philippines, doing kiteboarding trips and scuba diving, up to Japan. I think where
sounds,
else?
Sounds obviously, pretty good. How old are you, Ben? I don't think...
I'm 36.
Right. Okay. And how have you found the backpacking experience now compared to when you first started doing it?
It's different in a lot of ways, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's still a great experience. I guess in a lot of ways, I travel in a different way now. The sorts of people I meet, the sort of experiences that I seek out, I think are all quite different from what they were when I was 19.
And are you staying in dorms?
I do stay in dorms. I pack earplugs now.
Right.
I just find if I don't get a good night's sleep, it just wipes out my whole next day. So I travel with some good earplugs, and I do avoid dorms. When I can get a private room, I usually do that, as long as it's not too expensive.
So Ben, because we've just been talking about our experiences back in the day, and I'm the first to admit I will not backpack anymore. I am beyond that. But as someone who did it then and is doing it now, what's the best and the worst thing you're finding about backpacking these days?
Yeah, I guess the best thing is that, I've got some more skills now. I've advanced in my career. I don't have to worry about just pinching pennies quite as much as I used to. So I can pay a little bit more for experiences that I enjoy, get some nice meals, bring good wine, like seek out craft beer. The worst thing, I guess it's easy to feel different when you're older, but you do meet a lot of people, probably the majority of the people I run into on the trail are kind of in their 20s. But there's still, a good number of people who are my age as well. So I guess you just got to look a little bit harder, come in a bit more open-minded.
Do you find that you hang out and you get on with those younger travelers as well?
Yeah, some, I guess it depends what they're traveling for. I mean, some younger people, probably just want to be loud and rowdy, which I don't mind from time to time. But you meet some people who are super interesting. They've got really, really interesting things going on with their lives. I feel like as long as I don't kind of see myself as different, I'll tend to get accepted.
Do Australians bug you more when you're an older backpacker?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. there's just some things that just sort of irk me. there's sort of a gratuitous kind of throwing around of swear words that sometimes, I mean, I love swearing. I've got no problem with swearing, but just sometimes I like to save those words for when an occasion really calls for it, that it's so good. But I don't know, just every second word being the C-bomb or whatever, like sometimes you meet people who are sort of almost pretentiously kind of just swearing in a very Aussie sort of a way.
What do your friends back home think? Because I know I went and stayed in Seville for a couple of months when I was about 33, and I was hanging out with lots of much younger travellers and going out to nightclubs and stuff, and they were tagging pictures of me in clubs and everything on Facebook, and all my friends were writing me to me saying, like, are you okay, dude? This seems kind of weird. Like, what do your friends say?
Like midlife crisis.
Yeah, exactly, like yeah.
I get a lot of comments, like, it just seems like, oh, every day you're in a different country or something like that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends have settled down. They're having kids and they're married and so on. So I guess I'm living a bit of a different life to them. I think there's a mix of jealousy on one hand, but also I think a lot of them, they did that a bit earlier when I was quite busy. They did some quite big trips in their 20s, and they're probably quite glad to have sort of moved on to this next stage of their lives as well.
Yeah. Do you think that the Gen Ys that you're traveling with, do they travel in a different style to what older travelers do, or the way that we used to backpack?
One of the things, I really like just paper books, and so I always bring a couple with me, but I really have trouble swapping them. You know, there was this vibrant second.
You can't just take someone's iPad off them.
No, yeah, everyone's got a Kindle, right? I mean, there was this vibrant secondhand book trade just going on when, you know, in my first trip. You could always get a good book from someone. You'd always just swap your books out.
And then you could only get Dan Brown for a while. There was that period where that's all there was in Dutch.
Or the Beach.
Swedish. Yes, exactly.
But, do they travel differently? I guess people book ahead now a lot more. I think just because it's so easy, you can jump on the Hostel World, you know, or TripAdvisor, and you can just book a place, a day or two in advance, and you don't have to kind of walk around the town with your backpack. Whereas, you know, in Southeast Asia, it just wasn't quite as easy to do that, you know, sort of a decade or so ago. So you would generally tend to just show up to a place and just walk around with your pack and kind of go in and ask what the price was and walk back out and then make a decision. And sometimes that was nice when you had a light pack, but when you had a, you know, yeah, super heavy pack.
Yeah, it's 35 degrees.
Yeah. Ben, can I ask about who's traveling now? I know that when I was backpacking, there was a mix of Scandinavians, a whole lot of Israelis were backpacking at that time, lots of Germans, Brits. Who's backpacking now? Have the nationalities changed that you're encountering?
A lot. They've changed a lot. Actually, one thing, I mean, I can speak Mandarin, which is something that I sort of did quite a few years ago. And that's been a huge thing for me. I hang out with a lot of mainland Chinese backpackers. These are young, interesting mainland Chinese, probably just out of university, who are just taking some time off to see the world, you know, and I just think it's fabulous. Still often don't see those two groups mixing as much as I'd kind of like. You tend to get the groups of people speaking English over there, and then you have groups of Chinese travelers over here speaking Chinese. I guess it'd be nice to see these groups of talking more. But I got around with some mainlanders. I stayed in some guest houses that were full of mainlanders, and we had a great time.
Well, Ben, thanks very much for joining us. That's been really, really fascinating. Really appreciate having you on board.
No, not at all.
All right, now, guys, just to finish up, I've got one last question. So let's just pretend that you are feeling a little bit over the hill as a backpacker, but you still want to travel and do that sort of adventurous style. Where would you go for your next holiday?
I think I'd choose Japan.
Right.
And my reason for that is Japan has the tradition of hostels, traditional hostels or inns that local people go and stay in, as well as travellers, backpackers, people of all ages. So I think with that in mind, maybe feeling a bit old for the traditional Western hostel experience as we foreigners know it, I think staying in a ryokan in Japan would make me feel comfortable.
Yep, absolutely. And how about you, Uta?
For me, the big thing is the sleeping arrangements. Mm-hmm. I am not sleeping in a dorm. You cannot make me. So I think I'd head for somewhere like Central America where I can get a little beach shack and just, you know, fall asleep to the sound of the waves and maybe not be that comfortable, but it's still feel I'm getting a special experience.
Yeah, right. I'm there.
Well, where would you go, Ben?
I would probably go to Southern Africa, I think. I did a trip there fairly recently on a budget, hiring a car, staying in campsites, and there's a lot of people of all ages, a lot of different nationalities, and it's a really inclusive, fun vibe without being sort of total everyone gets smashed at night and wake up with a hangover.
You're sleeping in tents.
You are sleeping in tents. That is something to remember. But, okay. I mean, that's something I really love, so, you know. Guys, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. If you'd like to read more of Uta's stories, you can check it out on traveller.com.au. And for some amazing travel experiences, you can go to intrepidtravel.com. So Tara, Uta, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
And if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can find us in iTunes or on your favourite podcasting app. You've been listening to Flight of Fancy, and we'll be seeing you next time.